Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new edition, a new episode of the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. This is your host and humble servant, Gio. I am the youth leader of LWIM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. I'm very grateful that you downloaded this podcast. Obviously, you're in search for truth. Some people might say that's a bit prideful on your end, Gio, because you are, in essence, saying that you are assured that you are promulgating the truth. Well, Jesus is the one that informs me whether or not I am living the truth. How? If you adopt it, you shall be made free. That's what Jesus says in John 8:32. So you can be assured of the truth, and it is not a prideful thing to say it if you indeed understand that you are living proof of adoption of truth, which obviously leads you to enjoy liberty. So that's all I have to say about that. And I'm pretty sure that you feel the same way if you abide in Jesus's word, and that has brought you freedom. And this freedom is manifested in many different ways, but primarily in the sense that you are free from the secular thought processes. You're not indulging and you're not a slave to the secular thought processes, but rather now you have renewed your mind through the Word of God, and you're able to see things through the eyes of God, if you will, through the mind of God, which obviously can only be done with a steady hand, a steady mind, being observant of the Scriptures and observant as it pertains to daily life. So we hope that you are accomplishing this. And we're only asking that you provide to others what you have been given by grace. We are simply giving what we have been given by grace, which is the Word of God, the truth. So help us by promulgating this message, by promulgating these podcasts. Share them with your friends and family members so they too can know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. Now, this Friday night, I want to invite everyone who is in the Miami vicinity to join us, because we are going to undertake a new series titled Defining Sex, and we're going to take a closer look at the true context, the true infrastructure of intimacy, relationships, eternal love, specifically sex. We want to define, give the proper definition, give it, allow it to see the light of day, what sex actually is, because we live in a day and age where the secular society, the secular culture has redefined the terminology and the very act itself. And we need to look again to the Scriptures and also take a look at this from a philosophical standpoint to make sure that we have both sides of the coin covered. What do I mean by that? Well, there are individuals that you could debate with them and argue with them in favor of a biblical viewpoint as it pertains to sexual relations, and they would more than happily, if you are able to prove that, say that that is successful and that is the true way that we should view, we should feel about sexual relations. There are others that automatically from the onset have this prejudicial mind, and they say the Bible is illegitimate, I don't believe in the Bible, and therefore it must be discounted. You cannot argue from the Bible. Well, we can also look at this from a philosophical, a rational, a logical viewpoint and understand that there is a certain context, there is a certain infrastructure that has been created specifically for sex, because when you start taking it out, displacing it, if you will, from certain spheres, you'll notice that the consequences are very dire, as is evidenced in our society. So these are the things that we're going to touch upon beginning this Friday at 8 p.m. Defining Sex. Remember, that's the title. This Friday, 8 p.m., we are located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you need more information, please give us a call, 305-461-9929. You can also drop us a line, info@lwim.org. You can write to me personally, gio@lwim.org, and visit our webpage, lwim.org, and follow us on Twitter under LWYM. Well, considering all those things, I think it's important for today's subject matter to be taken with the understanding that there are certain things that you have to delve into, no matter what, no matter how embarrassing they are. It's important to delve into them and to do it with sincerity. There are certain philosophers that believe that it's almost impossible to touch upon, to define what proper is, to define what pure, that which is pure is, because along with it, you have to contrast that with that is defiled, with that is dirty, nasty, to use common terminology. And in many cases, this would be true, especially when it pertains to the issue of sex, because again, we live in a culture, in a society that promulgates erroneous ideas, erroneous notions, concepts of the sexual act itself, even of sexual desire, of erotic love. And we need to make sure that we are, you know, these things are properly defined, that we have the proper definitions, the correct definitions in our own mind, because otherwise we are going to engage in personally destructive behavior if we pay attention to and adopt the definitions, the redefinitions that the secular society has applied to the concept, to the very act of sex itself. So one of those concepts that I want to touch on this particular podcast is that of abstinence. You'll notice that many in the secular culture, in the humanistic side of things, they argue that they mock and they ridicule those that argue in favor of abstinence. But I'll take this a step further. You have many within the church who, for example, attack the very notion of masturbation, especially when it pertains to young people. Not only are many church elders, many older folk, many parents telling their own children that masturbation is a sin, even though nowhere in the Bible is masturbation mentioned as a sin or an offense against God. And the typical one that is employed is in the Old Testament, and that wasn't even a case of masturbation. That was a case where a particular individual under Jewish law was supposed to give his brother's wife a child to continue that family, especially if that brother had died and left behind a wife. This man, he placed his semen outside of the woman so as to not give this woman a child. Mind you, that was the line that Jesus Christ was going to come through, that lineage. And this person, Satan, was trying to, in essence, eliminate Jesus from the scene, from the future, and God castigated the person for what he did. He punished the person for what he did. That's not a case of masturbation. And not only that, we're also in the New Testament. So as it pertains to that particular issue, you find that many people within the church have adopted this view that, for example, masturbation is illegal, illegitimate, against God. And at the same time, they pile it on against the youth by saying, well, you know what? You have to be abstinent until you find the person. And lo and behold, we're leaving an ash heap of tragedies, sexual tragedies, because we find that young men and women are burning up. They have this desire within them that was inculcated in them by God in the first place. And then they say, well, I can't even have a release. I have to basically wait until I have a wet dream, what is commonly known as a wet dream, in order to, you know, release sexually. Now, I know to many this is embarrassing. To many, they say this is a shameful thing. But if we're not going to speak to this about this, especially being the pillar and ground of truth that the church is supposed to be, where else is this going to be spoken of? Certainly, I'm not ashamed to talk about these things, to speak about these things openly, because they should be spoken of. This is the truth. And if you want people to live in liberty and freedom, you have to talk about these things. The Bible speaks about these things with utmost clarity. If you want to know what the Bible has to say about sex, read Song of Solomon's. Read that book in and of itself, and you see that the imagery is very explicit between Solomon and his Shulamite wife. And even furthermore, Paul, Jesus, they delve into the subject matter. This is not something that we should be ashamed to speak on, to touch on, because we have a generation of people who are suffering because they're receiving erroneous ideology, and it is being confused with doctrine, theology, when it's not. So, gee, where does abstinence and masturbation, where does this all fit within the life of the young Christian who is dating maybe, who is courting, or maybe not dating, they're just single at the very moment? Well, there's nothing wrong with it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this idea of masturbation. And certainly, we do advocate for abstinence. Why? It's the best remedy. Some people say, use a condom. But we know that the Bible tells us that fornication is against God's mandates. Jesus tells us that one of the things that proceeds from an evil heart and defiles a man is fornication. The Greek word there is porneia, which comes from porneo, which talks about somebody engaging in illegitimate sex, sex outside of the context of matrimony. Those are the Greek words that are employed there. So when you begin to analyze what the New Testament, specifically under grace, what we have to learn, what we have to, our obligations, if you will, as Christians is, yes, we understand that there's a context, there's a particular infrastructure for sexual relations, and there's a reason why God created this in the first place, because this is the ultimate, the zenith expression of two people that have decided to commit themselves to a life-lasting relationship with another, with the person of the opposite sex. And that is the ultimate expression of love. And of course, it's also used, employed in the act of procreation. We understand all of that. But nevertheless, I go back to this point of what happens in the meantime, Gio? What happens in this transition between my hormones being activated to the point where I'm married? Because certainly we don't want a case where there is a situation where young people are getting married simply because they desire to have sex. That's really an illegitimate reason why a person should get married. Some people might say, yeah, Gio, but Paul says in the New Testament that it'd be better for somebody to marry than to burn up. Yes, that is true. But what I'm saying is it's not the ideal reason why a person should get married. The ideal reasons for marriage is because you want to share the rest of your life with that person. You want to commit yourself to that person. You love that person. Your affection, your desire is for that person exclusively. Notice the word that I'm employing here, exclusively. So what do we do from point A, which is the moment that my sexual desire is activated, to point Z or B, whatever you want to categorize it as, where I'm married and now I'm free to engage in coitus, what is known as coitus, with my wife or husband, whatever the case may be? Well, there's masturbation. You have that option available to you. I know to many people this is illegitimate. I know that there are many who are going to criticize what I have to say and say that it is something that is strictly against the Bible, but I implore people, anyone who's out there, go to the Bible, go to the New Testament specifically, because we're no longer under the law. I want you to go to the period that the Bible very clearly speaks of grace, and showcase to me, please, why, how it is illegitimate, it is sinful against God for a young man or a young woman to masturbate. Please, I ask you, I implore you to show this. Because otherwise, what we're saying is that we are, in essence, forcing young people to burn themselves up until they're married. Or to force them into a situation where they're being married, they are involving themselves in matrimony, in a monogamous relationship, simply for the fact that they're burning up and they need to release the sexual tension that is within them. If anyone else can explain that to me, please, I'm free to listen. I really have an open mind about this. I ask you to please forward your emails to me, contact me, let me know, because I see no other way. I absolutely see no other way. And here's the other side to this. We have those who say, yes, but in the act, you're envisioning someone else. Well, when a husband is devoid of sex from his wife because maybe he's on a business trip, or vice versa, a woman is on a trip and devoid of sexual contact with her husband, is it illegitimate for them to engage in masturbation even though they're thinking about their spouse while they're doing so, because there is a void there of true sexual contact? Some people might say, yeah, but that's a different context altogether, Gio. When you look at it, you're leaving the young person without any other option. I'm not saying to become an addict. I'm not asking you to become dependent. I'm not asking anyone to become, I have to clarify this. I'm not asking anyone to become dependent on this sexual, constant sexual release. I'm just talking about making it easier for young people to move from one stage to another so that it facilitates, it makes the burden much lighter during this period where they are choosing, they are looking for a spouse, and eventually they enter into this institution, holy institution, that we call marriage. Otherwise, I find no other option. If anyone has a viable option, like I said before, please contact me. I'd like to debate it, because if there is something, an alternative, which is superior to this, please let me know. Otherwise, what we're saying here is that, yes, abstinence, absolutely, but also masturbation is not a bad thing. It's not illegitimate. It's not a sin. It's not against the godly precept. As a matter of fact, lo and behold, you have no other way of releasing sexually. Otherwise, the other option would be, and I'm pretty sure that anyone who is clergy, anyone else who is involved in ministry would not recommend this, because they understand that this is against God's mandates. This is against what Jesus tells us. You would tell them, go and pick up pornographic magazines. Go and watch a raunchy film, and all these other options in between. And we know for a fact that That's not going to happen. So, because if it does, then we would be approving of sin. We would be engaging. We would be telling others to engage in a sinful act, in a directly sinful act. And remember, the words that Jesus specifically, the words that Christ himself uses exclusively, and also Paul uses explicitly here, are the words porneia. We're not talking about a person. We're speaking here specifically about a person who lends their body for illegitimate sexual purposes. And a young man, a young woman, just trying to release sexually so that they do not fornicate is not an illegitimate sexual act. It's not. It's not an illegitimate act at all. It's simply a way for them to, again, release without having to commit sin. That's the way that I see it. That's the way that I am able to interpret these things. Again, I'm open to any suggestions or any alternatives that are truly biblical. If anyone has them, please communicate them to me. My email is open, jiogeo@lwim.org. That's all the time I have left for this edition, and that's only a small portion. I know we've spoken here for a while, but it's only a small portion of what we're going to deal with during our series, Defining Sex. I implore you that if you're in the area, visit us beginning this Friday night at 8 p.m., March 14th, where we will delve into the topic of sex, its true infrastructure, and intimacy, relationships, and all that other good jazz, like many other people say, beginning this Friday, 8 p.m., 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. For more information, visit our website, lwim.org, and let others know about it too, so they may know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. This has been Gio, your humble correspondent, your humble servant, saying goodbye, and until the next time, may the Lord shine his face upon you.